One, two, three, four, testing. We working? All right. You might want to turn me down. I'm a bit of a screamer. Bit of a yeller. I got a loud voice. It is really good to be back with you. It's good to see some familiar faces. My wife is not with us. She gives her coughing, lung-filled greetings, if that makes any sense to her, to you. I just said, no, you stay at home. You stay at home. So she may be watching online. I don't know if we're online, but if she is, oh, hi, Julie. And it's been great, forming a relationship with you guys. It's been great getting to know Harrison's son, Samuel. I don't know if you know Samuel. Yeah. Every time I'm with Samuel, I feel like I'm with a matinee idol. I don't know if that ring. I feel like I'm with a movie star. He's a good-looking young man. It's fantastic. Lord, please be with us as we look at your word. Be with me, and we pray you would be glorified this morning. And we pray this in your name. Amen. If you might want to put your finger in Luke 7, we're going to look at one little section of a little story about the widow's son being raised. We're going to look at that in just a minute. I'm going to tell you a story that you're not going to believe is true. I don't know if you remember last time I was here, I told you about my cat was in the dryer. That was we're not going to go there again. But this story is true. You're not going to believe it, but it's true. And if you're from Australia or New Zealand, you're going to go, if you're from England, yeah, you'll probably get a chuckle. You might laugh if you're from America, I don't know. If you're from other parts of the world, I don't know if you're going to, just go with it. And if nothing else, you just kind of go, yeah, I don't know what he's talking about. Yeah. But I have a friend named Gary. Gary is a good man, he's a smart man, he's all things good. His wife told this story at Gary's 40th, okay? This is from her mouth. When Gary is 37, he walks down the stairs and he says to his wife, I've just made a big discovery. And she says, what is that, dear? And he said, for our three daughters, Christmas must be a really confusing time. And she says, what do you mean? He says, well, there's all the characters involved in Christmas. There's Santa, there's Jesus, there's there's Rudolph, there's Dick the Horse, there's the elves. And she says, hey, what? Can you just go through that list again? He says, yeah, there's all these characters involved. How do our daughters figure out what Christmas is about? There's Santa, there's Rudolph, there's Jesus, there's Dick the Horse, there's the elves, and she says, Gary, who is Dick the Horse? This is where you're not going to believe the next bit. Gary says, it's the Christmas pony. And she says, the Christmas pony? He says, yes, it's the pony we sing to every Christmas when we say, Dick the Horse with Boughs of Holly, fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la. And she says, honey, it's Deck the Halls. Now, for those who are familiar with Australian kind of speak, you can understand Dick can kind of become Deck, and you don't say horse, you say hoss and halls. And so she says, Gary, it's putting plants up around your house, and it has nothing to do with a horse. And so Gary says, are you telling me there's no Christmas pony? And she says, no, there's no Christmas pony. In her words, he walks up the stairs and sits on the bed, holding his head, rethinking the previous 37 Christmases. I have promised Gary that I would not tell that story all across the world, and I have broken that promise many times. I just wanted to be really, really clear on that. We believe things that aren't true. We misjudge things that we oughtn't to misjudge. We treat things that are really important as not important. Things that may not be as important to us but are really important. We can completely misjudge this world. When we look at the person of Jesus, The world, as you know, misjudges this king. This king from heaven who comes down. And many of your friends, maybe even some of you, I don't know, maybe your family or your workmates, you lump Jesus in with a group of other significant historical characters, and you say, that's kind of where he belongs. He was important, and he's clearly significant to our calendar and a lot of the words we speak and whatever, but he's not all that important. We misjudge. And I think even as Christians, when we read these stories about Jesus in the Gospels, we can lose sight of the absolute incredible magnificence of this man. There's this short little story in the book of Luke. It was read to us. And it's actually my favorite story in all of the Gospels. And I think I like it because it's a little bit of, I think I'm wrong, but it's a little bit of an underdog story because it comes in this section of Luke. And you know, if you know your Bible or if you're a New Testament scholar, Luke just gives these magnificent stories that have become very famous. Jesus calming the waves, very famous story. Jesus, you know, walking on water, very famous story. Jesus feeding 5,000 people, very famous story. But then there's this little story, and it's not insignificant, but it's just little kind of 7 or 8 verses, just kind of there, where Jesus does something that is so mind-bogglingly amazing. And especially if you were there, and especially if you were the woman. Well, we'll get to her in a minute. It's just such a great story. And at the end of the chapter, some of John's disciples, if you know your Bible, there's this dude named, or if you don't know your Bible, there's this guy named John the Baptist. He's quite a significant figure. And he's wondering who Jesus is. Is he the king? Who is he? And he sends some of his followers to Jesus. And they say, Jesus, can you just tell us who you are? And Jesus says these words, they're great words. He says, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight. That's amazing. The lame walk. That's incredible. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor. I'm going to read you this story again. And as I read it, I want you to maybe have a song in your head, a little bit of a early 2000s song for if you're with me. Jesus is mighty to save. Our Lord is mighty to save. If you know that song, I want you to just kind of have that, just maybe lurking in your brain just a little bit. Let me read you the story again. He's just healed this centurion's servant. Amazing. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain. You can still go to Nain, by the way. Still there. And his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. Then he went up and he touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. This story is fairly simple. I think it's easy to understand. If you're new to your Bible, it's not a complex story. Jesus has healed this very significant local dignitary's servant. He is a wandering. Now, here's the thing. Jesus doesn't wander aimlessly. Jesus is a king. And kings tend not to do things aimlessly. A good king has purpose. Now, you're going to miss this in the story. I think you might miss this. But Jesus is in, he's in Capernaum, and he's walking toward Nain. That is a 25-mile journey, but what, 30-something kilometers, right? It's a long journey. And the story kind of reads, at first glance, like Jesus is just wandering around, and suddenly, oh, look, Jesus, there's a funeral. But if you look at the Gospels, and if you read the Gospels, you see that that rarely, if ever, happens. So Jesus knows that his friend Lazarus is dead, and he waits. Timing. He waits. If you don't know the story, John 11. Jesus gets in a boat in another, a little bit later in this gospel. He gets in a boat and he goes across this lake to see one guy, one man. Jesus has got followers with him. Jesus spends a long time going to this one little teeny place where he can find one guy who's full of demons. His name is Legion. And Jesus heals him. He gets back in the boat, and he goes back. And so here is Jesus. The timing is so fantastic. He is walking a long way with a group of people. It's a very slow, maybe a two-day trip. And Jesus times it perfectly because Jesus has perfect timing. And he walks up, and there's a town gate, and you've been to a funeral, probably. Our funerals, certainly, I think in this country, if they're still having funerals, a lot of people aren't having funerals anymore. Quite an interesting social phenomenon that's worth kind of thinking through and talking about. Real interesting, I think. In my world, Australia, America, a funeral is a very calm, somber event. In this world, it's a noisy event. There are people who are paid to mourn and to shout, to make noise. It's quite a large event for a small town. And Luke, in his way, if you don't know Luke, Luke is a doctor, and he's very good with details. And Luke gives us some really interesting details. He says that this was the only son of his mother, and she's a widow. And you probably can imagine what's going on there. Even in our world here, that is an extremely tragic situation. In that world, it's beyond tragic. She may have no resources at all. Husband gone, son gone. She is going to face a very gloomy life. Jesus walks up to her, and in just great Jesus way, he says, "Don't cry." He says, he's not saying, and it's, I think it's pretty obvious, he's not saying suppress your emotions. Emotions are bad. You just got to deal with it. You know, that's kind of a, if I can use this language in 2023, it's a little bit of a guy thing. I don't know if we can still say that, but it's a little bit of a kind of a guy thing, just cope. He's not saying that, of course. He says to her, "I have come a long way. I have walked a long distance. And I have come to a pretty insignificant place. I have just left a pretty happening place where I could hang out with this local dignitary and they would be feeding me and giving me booze and we'd be having a party. They would be doing all this because I've just done something pretty whiz-bang." And he doesn't. He says to his crowd, I don't know if he says this, "We're going to go to Nain." Nain? What's nothing in Nain? "We're going to Nain. Don't cry. Because the only hope in your universe has just walked up. The only person in history who can take this awful situation and make it good has walked up. The king is here. And he says, woman, don't cry. Now, he doesn't say this next bit, but he's going to say, this is just going to be a good day. This is going to be a really, really good day. And then he does something. And again, you might miss it. He walks up and he touches the coffin. If you're an Old Testament scholar, you don't touch death in the Old Testament. You're defiled, you're dirty, and there's a long process of, getting clean. Jesus, he's way beyond that. Old Testament law, king. The king comes up, touches the coffin. You can imagine people just, their brains are popping at this stage. Don't cry, touches the coffin. Now, he's actually not in a coffin, by the way. He's in a basket. And he's in kind of a woven basket with maybe some sort of light covering. So it's not like a horror movie coffin, it's not that kind of thing. It's a little basket thing. I just wanted to clear that up in case you're taking notes. He says to this guy, I'm talking to you. Young man, I say to you, death has no hold on you. Death has lost its grip on you. And, you can wrestle with where was this guy an hour ago? All the theologians are, what's going on? Who knows? We don't know. We just know that the king puts his hand on the coffin and he says, young man, death is gone. And then the best verse in the book, one of the best verses in the Bible, I think, right? What do I know? The dead man sat up and began to talk. Now, I'm a child of the 60s and the 70s. I wondered, what did he say? Whoa. That's right. But those of us who have gray hair will get that. The rest of us, is he talking about horses? He keeps talking about horses for some reason. Is this Luke's kind of hint that maybe this young man's going to be a speaker of Jesus? I don't know. I wonder, I puzzle with that. Is this, in the same way that Jesus heals this guy with all the demons and the guy starts to speak. He starts to tell people about Jesus. When Jesus meets the woman at the well, she goes off and she starts to speak about Jesus. Is that what's going on? I don't know. I have a feeling that he looked at his mother. And we don't know how he died. The number one cause of death among young men is accidental. It's been like that for a long time. And so I'm just guessing. Was there an accident? I'm going to tell you about an accident in just a minute as I finish up the sermon. I wonder if he looked at her with sorrow and joy and I'm so sorry this happened and I can't believe I'm looking at your face again. This is so fantastic. And then this little phrase, and mothers, if this doesn't rock your boat, nothing's going to. Jesus gave him back to his mother. What an amazing phrase. Jesus walks for miles. For miles. And he doesn't have to. Jesus' fame is just spreading all throughout the land. Jesus could have just sat in Capernaum. Just, there's so many little towns he could have gone to. And he walks for kilometer after kilometer because he loves that woman. I think the story might be about the woman, not the young man. But again, I don't know. That's for you guys to figure out. But I could see him looking at that woman and saying, here he is. And mothers, can you think there's nothing better than that? There's nothing. Everything changes at that point. Everything changes for that young man, for that woman, for their relationship with the town. And then the next verses, it's pretty typical Bible stuff, if you'll allow me to say that. They were filled with awe. They praised God. And they kind of get it a little wrong here. A great prophet has appeared among us. No, 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 people. The king has appeared among you. The king who has left heaven to come down to earth to save us has come. Then they get it right and they say, God has come to help his people. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding area. The Lord Jesus Christ, the king over everything, is so filled with compassion that he walks that great distance. He is so filled with compassion that he leaves heaven and comes to earth to die for us. It's amazing. And go back to my original story. There's a little bit of a ho-humness, you know. Yeah, we know this. And I have to wrestle with that. I've been a Christian for a long, long time, 42 years, long time. And I've got to keep reminding myself that this is the center of everything. In the same way that Jesus walks, heals that young man, resurrects the young man, that is the center of everything for them. The center of everything for us is Jesus Christ, who destroys death and brings life and immortality to light, because he comes down from heaven and dies on the cross. I have been youth ministry's my thing. I've talked to you guys about that before, and I've been in youth ministry a long, long time. And most youth ministers have a story similar to the one I'm going to tell you. Most of us have seen tragedy in ministry, especially with young men. It seems to just happen. And I have dealt with some very fine young men in my 35 years of youth ministry. This one kid was just stellar. He was a great kid. He came to youth group. He became a Christian. A couple of years later, he goes on a camp. He's in grade 9. I don't know how he dutched that group something or other, but he's 14 years old. He goes back to his grade 7 sister, and he says, Jesus wants me to be a better big brother. Now, can you imagine what that does to a 12-year-old girl? She starts coming to youth group and she becomes a Christian. That's what happens. Greg has a cousin. It's a long story, but I'll cut it short. He has a cousin, good guy, broke up with his girlfriend, typical Greg. Let's go camping and let's pray through this. Typical Greg. And so they go and they talk about, you know, breaking up with the girlfriend and the grief. Country road, dirt road. And you figure this out. There is one tree. I've been to the road. There is one tree. Greg dies instantly. Instantly. And it's one of those events I can't imagine his parents. I was just his youth leader, just his friend. Just, you know, this ache. And I don't know if I'm right, but I think Jesus, sorry, I'm right about this bit. Jesus is great. But I don't know about this next bit. I think that when I die, Jesus is so cool. Jesus is so awesome. I think this is what's going to happen. I think that I'm going to die. And the first person I'm going to see is going to be Greg. And I'm going to see Greg, and it's going to be really good. He was a really good kid. And Greg is going to look at me and we're going to talk. We're going to talk. Because that's what we used to do. And then Greg is going to say, do you want to go meet him? And I'm going to say, yes, I do. And we're going to go meet the king. And I'm going to be standing before Jesus with this young man who should be older than 22 years old. He should now be 47. But I will be standing with this young man and I will be thinking about Jesus, the King who is mighty to save, who has saved us because he loves us. He loved Greg. He loved that young man. He loved that young man's mother. He loves me. He loves you. He is the King who is mighty to save. Let's spend a moment of silence. There might be a prayer you need to pray to the King. King Jesus, we come before you again, and we thank you, and we praise you. We lift your name in our hearts. Jesus, I want to personally thank you for this incredible story that Luke has given us. We thank you, Jesus, for your love for that woman, your love for her son. I want to thank you for your love for my friend Greg. Thank you for your love for us. King Jesus, help us to never forget that. And we pray this in your name. Amen.